Coming up on podcast 1346, electric car sales in Europe just overtook diesel, and that is a really big deal. And I'll tell you why. Stick around. Also on the podcast today, Chinese battery maker CATL unveil their battery swapping. NIO starts doing some over-the-air updates outside of China. VW expanding their EV production. And Elon Musk promising full self-driving beta for Canada. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. Welcome to the show, wherever you are in the world. It's EV News Daily. It's Tuesday, 18th of January. It's COVID day for me. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story so you don't have to. Yes, if I haven't told you, I've put it on my social media already. I forget what I've said on the podcast. The brain is a little bit tired at this time of day. I'm always recording late into the night when the family are in bed, and I've had a chance to do this show. Our toddler had COVID last week. We think we know the contact that he had. He's doing okay. Runny nose, red eyes. You know, he's a baby, so they're meant to shake it off. And then I tested positive today. Hurrah! We all got tested, PCR tests, over the weekend when our little man came back positive with a home test. And I was negative. I was negative on Sunday. And those results take about 24 hours to come through. So if I hadn't bothered to do a home test, it would have been a case of, well, I'm fine, I'm clear. I'll go out and socialise in the world, because them's the rules. If you are living with someone with COVID, new rules say we can go outside and do the normal stuff. And I thought, I'll just double check, because I don't feel well. And yet, home test last night, and then home test this morning, very, very positive in terms of, the dark red line on the home test kit. Doing all right. I don't feel too great now. I got worse as the day's gone on, so kind of achy and cold and fluey and stuff. But had my booster jab Christmas Eve, so it's fresh in the system, I guess you could say. And it's the fourth anniversary of EV News Daily today. Have a special podcast to look out for, by the way, after this one, letting you know the future of this podcast if you like listening to it. So what a lovely anniversary present for me. Well done. 4 years of podcasting, have some COVID. So I will now be in quarantine, as is also the rules. That's the update from me. Let's get into the news. Welcome to a new Patreon executive producer. That'll be you, David. David Dysart, or Dessert. Thank you very much, David, for signing up to be an executive producer of this show. That means you get your ad-free feed. That means you get your name in the show notes, which you can see on your Patreon feed or on the website at evnewsdaily.com. Check out the show notes. Your name's there, as of now. Thank you, David, for signing up at patreon.com/EV News Daily. First story, and France did really well in 2021 for EV sales. 315,000 plug-in, not pure EV, plug-in electric cars sold in the last calendar year. This is the time of year when we're getting all those numbers coming out. And now we find out the French car market closed the year with a brilliant performance, up 62% year over year. How many are the pure electric cars, though? You may be asking. I've got the answer. 162,106 of them. Huge increase. More than 780,000 plug-ins were sold since 2010, and 500,000 of those all electric cars now on France's roads. The top three are Tesla Model 3 last year, then Renault Zoe, the homegrown Zoe, and the homegrown Peugeot E208, plus the kind of commercial equivalents of the Zoe and the E208. I'll pop a link to that story in the show notes so you can read more. Now, headline story, and pure battery electric car sales overtook diesel for the first time here in Europe, the Financial Times reporting yesterday. It's an important milestone. Diesel has been the default choice for European car buyers for decades, writes greencarreports.com. They say that registrations of new electric vehicles, including hybrids, plug-ins and battery electric cars, pushed past diesel back in September 2020. But this is the first time battery electric models have outsold diesels on their own. And just to put this in context, I have a global audience. I know that you might not appreciate how huge diesel was here in Europe. So for my US, Canada, Australian, rest of the world listeners, look, diesel was around in the 1970s. Diesel was kind of around in the 1980s, but really not above 10 or 20% market share. Then in the 90s, the technology got better. And in the 2000s, certainly here, the government got really obsessed with what has been described as a dash for diesel. In a 2017 BBC article, they wrote, "In 2001, our Chancellor Gordon Brown introduced a new system of car tax aimed at protecting the environment. In actual reality, it fostered a popular move towards highly polluting diesel cars, a trend which some experts say has been associated with hundreds of thousands of premature deaths a year all around the world. There was a dash for diesel in many European countries by governments who were looking at how to clean up the environment. And so what they did is they reduced the tax on diesel cars. As the BBC continues, there are now 12 million diesel cars on Britain's roads, while back in the year 2000, there were 3 million. And in recent years, diesels have accounted for around half of the new car market. In 2000, it was 1 in 7. There was a huge government push for reduced taxes because it was perceived they were better because of less CO2. And they're so toxic. And if you look at some of the other countries around Europe as well, France had a love affair with diesel. The peak was around 2007, when it was about 78% of the entire new car, passenger car, mix. Like almost 80% of new cars in France towards the end of that first decade of the new millennium were diesels. Spain had a love affair with diesel. It was around 70% from about 2004 all the way to about 2010. Italy had a love affair with diesel. 60% market share of diesel from about 2004. And to a lesser extent, the UK and also Germany as well. It took a long time for us to realise the mistakes of reducing taxing on diesel cars and what it did for the amount of life-threatening particulates, PM2.5 and PM10. As the California Air Resources Board says, airborne particulate matter, PM, particulate matter, is a mixture of chemical species, solids, aerosols, liquids, dry solid fragments, and solid cores with liquid coatings. They vary in size, shape, and chemical composition and may contain inorganic ions, metallic compounds, elemental carbon, and compounds from the Earth's crust. Particles are defined by their diameter for quality regulation purposes. Those with a diameter of 10 microns or less PM10 are inhalable into the lungs and induce adverse health effects. Fine particulate matter, PM2.5 microns or less, is what that means. Hugely damaging to public health. Huge deal for EVs to outsell diesel. And the death of diesel is something which can't come quick enough. I was one of those people that bought a VW Golf Blue Motion. I was sold it because it was £10 a year on my road tax, not hundreds of pounds, and because I was sold it was clean. It was called Blue Motion. It was a clean diesel, right? And then I was caught up in Dieselgate and I learned the truth and I felt like an idiot and lied to and conned, and thanks VW. Well, 176,000 pure battery electric vehicles sold in Western Europe in the last month of the year, December 2021, compared to around 160,000 diesel cars, this report saying in the Financial Times. The total is an all-time record for European EV sales and more than 6% higher than the comparable figure year on year for December 2020. A fifth of new cars sold in the 18 European markets were all electric, while diesels and diesel hybrids, less than 19% of sales. So not massively behind, but hey, a win is a win, and a hugely important story, at least here. All right, moving on. Kia has unveiled the all-new Niro. Goes on sale later this year. If you thought that the Kia EV6 and the EV range, the EV number, it was going to be the death of the Niro and the e-Niro, well, you would be wrong. There is a new version coming out, hybrid, plug-in, and pure electric, like its predecessor. Features a new exterior design, which I really, really like. And looks a bit like a Sportage. The interior looks like an EV6. And again, that's no bad thing. The new Niro has a larger body in just about every way. It's a bit like me during lockdown over the last 2 years. It's gained some pounds. It's 65mm longer, 20mm wider, and 10mm taller. And the wheelbase is longer by 20mm as well. Now, they only told us details of the hybrid. Boring, boring. We couldn't find out more details about the plug-in or even the pure electric version. But if you thought cars like the Kona and the Niro were dead because the next generation, if you like, from that new platform are coming from those companies, you'd be wrong. And hey, a bigger Niro really would suit our family. And plus, if they can keep that crazy efficiency those cars have got, I think it's on to a winner if you can't afford like the EV6, and I'm in that category. Now let's talk about a Chinese battery maker going for swappable technology. That'll be CATL, the world's number one battery maker. At their launch event online, I told you about it on yesterday's podcast, CATL did officially unveil Evogo. Anyway, that's the name of their modular battery swapping technology. Rather than the whole battery, it's actually battery blocks that get changed. In order to enable fast battery swap stations, you use an app. It's going to be open in 10 cities in China to begin with. They say that each of these modules, these blocks, if you like, look like little big sort of big chocolate bars. So they've called them the Choco SEB. They say Choco SEB modules are compatible with 80% of BEV platform vehicles currently available on the global market. And all BEV platform models will be released in the next 3 years around the world will be able to have these modules. They're just talking about China, right? And even then, what is that? 80% of cars can have these modules installed? That must mean from new, right? Or is it in China? Because I've read some stuff over the years where some of the manufacturers in China have the same dimensions in terms of a standardized battery swap. But I can't find concrete information today when I've been researching that. Let me know if you know. With a footprint the size of 3 parking spaces, the standard battery swap station will hold up to 48 of these modules, allowing each one to be swapped in 1 minute for a new battery block. Fully charged batteries go in, and customers don't wait more than a minute to get some extra juice. They say there'll be a variety of swap stations to suit climates of different regions as well. These swap stations can match all vehicle models by different OEMs, say CATL, as long as they're using the Choco SEB modules. So that looks like a really interesting kind of cross-company innovation. Of course, CATL are very famous for making the batteries rather than the battery swap stations out there at the minute, like NIO, that are obviously famous for being a car maker. Talking of NIO, they'll be in the news next in part two. We'll talk about VW expanding EV production and Elon Musk promising Canadian access to the full self-driving beta. Stick around. Okay, let's talk NIO. NIO began shipping its ES8, that's the SUV, to Europe last year. And now they're doing their first over-the-air software update in Norway. The first time they've done this outside of China. It updates the system's language to English or Norwegian. And the available English language settings in NIO's vehicle will support its expansion outside of China. Aspen 3.0.5 is the exact software update for any of my Norwegian listeners that are driving a NIO. It improves some cold weather stuff. It means you can manually select battery preconditioning, battery warm-up if you're heading towards a charger, and you can extend the duration of the cabin preconditioning. Again, Norway, super cold in the winter. That's very sensible. Also, some new user enhancements, a new assistant that helps drivers find nearby EV charging stations. That's all very, very good stuff. And NIO, of course, are in Norway at the minute, but they will expand further to more European countries, and Germany is going to be next, then Denmark and the Netherlands, I think I read. And each region they move to will come with its own software and update services for where they go to. But how long until the North American countries? Your guess is as good as mine. Earlier this week, reporting on a massive new headquarters in the US. That is no coincidence. Next, we'll talk VW, significantly expanding their production of their EV capacities in China. There's a third plant now. There's been two that I've been talking about until now. Joint venture with SAIC VW and FAW VW. Their factories can make 300,000 EVs a year. The third plant will add another 300,000. So we now know VW, with their joint venture, can make 900,000 EVs per year when they're at full capacity. Not quite using that at the minute, because the MEB cars in China last year, they sold 70,000 of them. So, yeah, that's a little bit shy of the 900,000 capacity that they will have. So, again, that's hoping that China as a market improves for VW. I would also suggest the cars can be made there and exported to other markets. So maybe if Germany is running out of production capacity, they could be made in China as well. VW did just start delivering the ID4, the ID6 as well, at the end of last year. So give them time to roll out in China and we'll see where that falls. Right, next, do some Tesla stuff and Elon Musk saying on Twitter that FSD Beta is coming to Canada in 2 to 4 weeks. Great news. That'll be sometime in February, maybe Valentine's Day. What a lovely present for you if you're in love with your car. Mind you, I will say, because it's just me chatting on this podcast, so I have to sort of play Jekyll and Hyde sometimes and give both sides of every argument. Although he said that on Twitter, he did also say in December 2020, well over a year ago, that FSD Beta will be coming to Canada very soon. Fast forward about 13 months, no sign of it. He also tweeted in November last year that FSD Beta would go live in Canada the following month. But it didn't. So, there you go. The timeline update on full self-driving releasing in Canada follows his announcement that it would increase in price to $12,000, and indeed it did earlier today. Now, Tesla is turning to Mozambique for a key component of their own EV batteries. Elon Musk's company signed an agreement last month with Australia's Syrah Resources. They operate one of the world's largest graphite mines in the southern African country of Mozambique. It's a partnership between Tesla and a producer of the minerals that is critical to their battery future. The value and size of the deal hasn't been released, but Tesla's going to buy the material from a processing plant in the US, in Louisiana, which sources the graphite from Mozambique. The deal is part of Tesla's plan to ramp up their own battery capacity, writes CNBC.com. They say the battery industry has been confronted with a short supply of graphite in recent months. Graphite stores lithium inside a battery until it's needed to generate electricity by splitting into charged ions and electrons. So, you know, very important to lithium-ion batteries. What always kind of makes me smile whenever you see a story about Tesla doing a deal with minerals or raw materials or getting into the battery business, there is almost sometimes a state of wonder. And also a kind of, wow, Tesla are going right back to the mine. Look, they have done for years, like years and years ago, when truckloads of raw materials first started turning up at Giga Nevada, along with Tesla's partnership with Panasonic. Like, this is going back a decade. They've had raw materials turning up at Tesla facilities. They are not new to this. Okay, so they're moving things on with the 4680 cells and the pilot line, and that's going to be expanded to cell production in Austin and Berlin as well. And that's on a whole different scale. I get it, but like the idea of Tesla taking delivery of raw materials for batteries, it's so old. It's been going on so long. They know what they're doing. They're very experienced in this, along with their partners. So it always kind of makes me smile. Be like, oh, wow, look what they're doing. Like, yeah, they've been doing this for a long time. Now, an ad taken out in the New York Times interested me today because it was a full-page advertisement in Sunday's New York Times at taking aim at Tesla and particularly full self-driving. This full-page ad called it "The Worst Software Ever Sold by a Fortune 500 Company." And they offered $10,000, the price at the time, for full self-driving. It's more now. If any person could name another commercial product from a Fortune 500 company that has a critical malfunction every 8 minutes. Wow. This ad was paid for by the Dawn Project, a recently founded organization. You know, follow the money back to where this is coming from. Their aim is to say this new organization to ban unsafe software. Okay, so you got to work out where the money's coming from to buy full-page adverts. There's plenty of people in the world that want to see EVs fail. Hey, lots of people that want to see Tesla fail and generally EVs succeed. And there's people who want to see all EVs fail. Alongside the ad, the Dawn Project, because they're always, these projects and associations and lobby company, they've always got lovely names, haven't they? Like the Dawn Project. The Sunrise Association. Okay. Anyway, taking aim at electric vehicles and particularly Tesla, published a fact check of their claims. They referred to their own safety analysis. What did they do? Well, they studied I'll do this with a straight face. They studied 21 YouTube videos totaling 7 hours of drive time. Right. So their entire research for their conclusion that FSD doesn't work is 21 YouTube videos. Well, Let's start with that, should we? So there must be hundreds of thousands of hours of FSD beta footage online. Did they just cherry pick the worst ones? Because I know plenty of people who have YouTube channels that put good stuff and bad stuff online about Tesla. They film everything with FSD beta and put it online. If you want to find the bad stuff, it's out there. There's moments when it goes properly loopy. And there's some amazing stuff as well. So if you want to pick the worst 21 YouTube videos you can find on the internet and conclude from that, well, Tesla's software doesn't work. Absolutely, you can do that if you look at it through a single lens. The ad says, "We did not sign up for our families to be crash test dummies for thousands of Tesla cars being driven on public roads, accompanied by a photoshopped image of a Tesla Model X appearing to run over an adult standing next to or holding hands with a child crash test dummy." Makes you wonder who is funding that. If you really follow the money back, I guess in these cases we never quite know. "Can anyone satisfy Amazon's craving for electric vans?" asks the New York Times today. And before I answer that question, here is the CEO of Rivian, RJ Scaringe, taking to Twitter earlier today with his kids in the back of the car. As he swings the camera around, I noticed he's not driving the SUV. Only two SUVs have been made, the R1S, but the R1T, the truck. So he's got his lads in the back of the truck, and he says, "I love it when these quality inspectors come to check up on production ramp." And he's showing them a car park full of R1Ts of various colors. It looks maybe 60 or 80 trucks.
"All right, so these are a bunch of Rivians we're getting ready to deliver. Super cool. Pete, what do you say?"
"Dark green."
"You like dark green?"
"Yeah."
"Forest green?"
"Forest green."
"Max, which color do you like?"
"White."
"Pretty cool, huh?"
"Forest green."
"These are all getting ready to go to customers."
He doesn't tweet too often. He's no Musk on Twitter. Some people would say that can be a good thing. But nice to put a video online of his lads having a look around where dad works and a bunch of R1Ts ready to go to their new homes. But as regular listeners of this podcast have heard me say many times, I don't think Rivian are going to ramp those trucks very quickly at all. I think Rivian's all about commercial vehicles with Amazon. Amazon put $1.3 billion into Rivian back in the day, and I think they've got to pay off that debt now. And I think that is by ramping the Amazon vans very quickly. I think Jeff Bezos wants his vans, and Amazon want their vans. And I think Rivian will deliver as many trucks as they can to keep the hype going. And, you know, Rivian are the darlings of the EV world right now. But really, in reality, it's about the Amazon van. And they've got to deliver on that massive investment. They'll keep the trucks getting out there and as much as they can. But I don't think that they're going to deliver, you know, a huge amount of those in 2022. And Amazon themselves have an insatiable appetite for electric vans. They've got their own ballooning logistics operation and a pledge that half of their deliveries will be carbon neutral by 2030. That hunger is running into the reality that the auto industry barely produces any electric vans, though, writes the New York Times. They write, "While consumer electric cars are hitting their stride, Tesla delivering almost 1 million cars last year, the market for commercial electric vehicles is still nascent, with their heavier loads multiplying the technology challenges. Amazon would not say if Rivian delivered the first 10 production vans in December, as was promised, and other automakers are not manufacturing scale either." Well, Amazon's global fleet head is Ross Reichy, and Ross said, "The scale and speed at which we're trying to do this requires a lot of invention, testing and learning, and a completely new playbook. Amazon have got 175,000 of their own vans on the road by the end of last year." As they move away from suppliers and move to their own Amazon delivery network. So they turned to Rivian, invested their $1.3 billion, and they want their 10,000 vans as early as this year as part of a deal for 100,000 electric vans. But clearly they'll be need to bought from elsewhere as well. Okay, final story, and that would be Rimac. And the Rimac Group is now fully operational as of the start of this year. The new umbrella company that incorporates two things, really, Bugatti Rimac and Rimac Technology. Mate is ahead of both of those companies. But Rimac Technology is interesting. It's the sister company to what was Rimac Automobili. And that is an independent company. It's 100% owned by the Rimac Group. And it does engineering, development, production, and supplying of high-performance batteries, electric drive units, the electronic systems, the user interface as well. Rimac Technology, this independent spin-off company, works alongside Porsche, Hyundai, Kia, Pininfarina, Koenigsegg, Aston Martin, and many more. Having delivered components for several niche projects in the past years, some of which we know and some of which we don't, Rimac says they're ramping up their production capacity by tens of thousands of high-performance systems a year. Who else they'll work with, they can't say, because they are free of any oversight by any other manufacturer, and that includes the investors into Rimac's group as a business. It's important for those projects to be kept confidential. That's why it's a wholly owned spin-off company. Really interesting. I'll pop a link to that press release that I found on the Rimac's website if you want to go and have a look at the full story for yourself, and a big long quote from Mate as well if you are interested. Right, that's your podcast for today. That's our fourth anniversary podcast done. My goodness, a bit longer than the 6 minutes of the first podcast that I did 4 years ago. And in your feed, check out a quick show that I'll put out in a little bit, just detailing the future of this show. And if you don't care, just delete it. It's very self-indulgent. It's not just about this. So feel free not to listen. But otherwise, if you are, then, you know, let me know what you think of it. Right, question of the week with emobilitynorway.com. I want to know from you what advertising for EVs you've seen lately. TV adverts, print, digital, online. What have you seen that you noticed? Any good, bad, ugly? What was memorable? Email me your answer to hello@evnewsdaily.com and I'll read it out on Sunday. Thanks so much to the premium partners of this podcast. Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, Derek Riley from the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel, Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK, and emobilitynorway.com. Have a good and see you tomorrow. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.